Heavenly Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. I've lost track of how long it's taken us to get through the Sermon on the Mount, but it looks like today may be the end. I mentioned it last week, and you've probably figured out at some point in your lives, Christianity's hard. It's not as easy as we want to think it is. Now, I talked about that in particular last week as we were talking about the golden rule, the fact that we're supposed to treat others as we would have them treat us. And today's passage, we talk about the gates, the narrow gate and the wide gate. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 read, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, in this passage, Jesus in particular is talking about our path to heaven and the way to heaven. And he has said himself in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, he said that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and none come to the Father but through him. And sometimes that feels icky. Sometimes that feels icky because we want to think everybody has a chance, and everybody does have a chance, and everybody has a decision to make. Everybody has to decide where their faith is and what they believe in. And there's a difference between faith and truth sometimes. A quote I recently heard from Daniel Patrick Moynihan was that everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but not everyone is entitled to their own truth. We live in a society today where we can be told that there are different truths, and that's just not possible. There is truth, and it's definite. Suppose you fall down and break your arm, and you go to the emergency room, and, you know, your arm's broken. There's like a piece of bone sticking out of it, and it hurts and hurts and hurts and hurts. And you go to the emergency room, and they say, they take an x-ray just to prove it, and they show you this x-ray, your arm is broken. Well, I want another opinion. Well, the fact is, your arm is broken or it isn't broken. I choose not to believe that my arm is broken. That doesn't make it any less broken. I have a friend I've recently made who's a Buddhist who doesn't agree with Christianity. He thinks that his path to enlightenment lies elsewhere. So we're at odds with this. He's a nice guy. I think he might be the only actual Buddhist that I know. He's a really nice guy. We get along really well. But the fact of it is, at least one of us is wrong. I found a survey recently. Actually, the survey took place back in 2007, was done by the Pew Research Group. They surveyed 35,000 Americans. 65% of them said that there is more than one way to heaven. 65% said there's more than one way to get to heaven. Now, as the preacher who's standing up here in front of you, I'm going to tell you that the only way is Jesus, whether you want to hear that or not. I've a pretty good idea that everybody here calls themselves Christian and that they want to believe that. But here's how much farther it goes. According to the same survey, 52% of Christians say that Jesus is not the only way to heaven. And I don't have numbers for this on a fact, but I know that there are pastors out there who will stand in the pulpit and tell you that there are other ways to get to heaven. I don't believe that that is true. You see, I believe what it tells me in here. This is my Bible. I believe what it tells me in here, and that is that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Other people believe other ways. That doesn't make them right. And I tell you, I'll just be square honest with you. Just because I believe this doesn't make it right either. As I told my Buddhist friends, at least one of us is wrong. It might be both of us. But my faith stands on this. This is what I believe. We have had opportunities to talk about, you know, what we believe and why we believe it. And hopefully you folks are at a point where you know what you believe. I don't know. Hopefully I can get up here and challenge you a little bit. And I tell you the truth, sometimes when I'm studying things and preparing, I get challenged a little bit too. And sometimes I come across things in Scripture that don't necessarily agree with what I think, and it changes my opinion. Because as I said, I'm standing firm on God's Word, because I believe that this is the Word of God. Chapter 7 continues. Jesus says, "Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." See, there are false prophets and there are false teachers. And that's why you need to be careful of who you listen to, and you need to pay attention to what they say, and you need to test them. You need to test the Word. That goes for me too. You can't necessarily trust what I'm going to say because I'm a human being and I make mistakes. I can stand here and tell you that I'm not here to deceive you, but is that the truth? We get constant phone calls from somebody with an Indian accent who says that there's something wrong with our computer. I don't know necessarily how he knows it's our computer that has a problem. It does, but I don't know how he knows this. And he says that if we log our computer onto their website and give them our credit card number, they'll fix the problem with the computer. Yeah. Well, in my day job, I do fraud investigation for credit card companies. And you know what? There's a lot of people who get that same phone call, and they hook their computer up to this guy's website, and they lose a lot of money, and they don't get anything back. Their computers are still screwed up. That's why I've gotten to the point where as soon as somebody calls me and tells me that they're from, what do they say, they're from Microsoft or something like that, they're from Windows, I tell them no thank you and I hang up the phone. I'm done with them. I'm done with them. I've seen and heard preachers say things that are just not right. And it astonishes me. It astonishes me. One of the great examples in my life, I remember an Easter Sunday. Long time ago, 10 years ago, yeah, it was 10 years ago this past Easter, we were at a worship service in the community where our church was, and they had a really nice service. There were three, it had been two, but had become three churches would get together on Easter Sunday for a 6 a.m. service. One church, they provided their building, and members of their congregation fixed the lunch for us, or a brunch for us for after the service. Another church provided the choir, and another church provided the preacher. And I will never forget, the preacher got up at, you know, well, we got there and it was really nice. The people at that church were really friendly and very welcoming and very happy to have us there. And the choir did a marvelous job of singing some songs, and the congregation sang songs. And then the preacher from another church got up and stood up and professed that Jesus did not rise from the grave. That after Jesus had been crucified, his body was taken off the cross and thrown into a garbage pile and eaten by dogs. This is a Christian preacher who got up and said in front of three churches worth of people that everything we believe isn't true. And I remember the pastor whose church that was sitting there just looking around like, isn't anybody going to shut her up? And if I had known enough at the time that was an okay thing to do, I would have stood up and told her to shut up, because she's wrong, because she was lying. She was preaching out of the gospel according to Judas. I don't have to look in my index to tell you that's not in here. It doesn't count. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. This is continuing further. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. See, one of the things that makes me nervous about being a pastor and about getting up here and preaching is the fact that I might be wrong about something, that I might say something wrong. That really concerns me. It's possible because, like I say, I'm a human being and I make mistakes. And if I do, I try very hard to correct them as fast as I can. But I want to be certain I'm not one of these false teachers because, you know, come judgment day, as the pastor, as the preacher, I'm going to be judged harshly than, pardon? Yeah, it's going to be worse. Or let's say it could be worse. I'm responsible for what I teach you, just like other preachers are responsible for what they teach. I can't remember the guy's name. The pastor recently at Westboro Baptist Church died. And last night, as I was thinking about this message, I began to wonder, is he in heaven? Is he in heaven? Well, he's a pastor, so you'd think maybe he is. You'd expect him to be. But he stood in front of his congregation, and he stood in front of the nation, and he stood in front of a world, and he preached hatred. I know I have spoken against him in the past, and I'll continue to speak against that kind of hatred. I need to believe that God is merciful. He has forgiven so much from us, and I don't know what went through that man's head in the moments before he passed, but I wonder. And I know that he will be judged for the things he said. His fruit was bitter and sour. I like this, where it says you don't get grapes from thorn bushes. In the final piece of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down and the stream rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fail, because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. You know, if with my Buddhist friend, you put the two of us together, and it might be difficult until we actually start talking about religion to figure out who's the Christian. Because, well, he's a nice guy. I think I'm a nice guy. We get along really well. We behave about the same in most circumstances, but when it comes down to it, which of us has the foundation? When it comes down to us, which of us will be left standing at the end? Everyone goes through hard times. These winds and storms strike on everyone's lives, and a lot of people crumble under the weight of the stress of life and what goes on in the world. But as Christians, we have this foundation. We have these things that I've been talking about through the Sermon on the Mount. These are the things that hold us up. Even when it gets hard to do these things, because let's face it, some of the people that we're told to love are really difficult to love, aren't they? And we're told to love them anyway. And hopefully we're doing that. Hopefully we're taking that to heart. Hopefully we are listening to the words that the Lord has told us, the words that he has given us. Whether you listen to me or not is a different matter. It's what he's saying here in his word, as it is with any preacher. It's what God says, not what the preacher says, but what God says. I mean, hopefully I'm not telling you anything new. Hopefully I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard before. Maybe I'm presenting you with a new conviction. Maybe I'm helping you to understand it a little bit better. I think that's a lot of what I'm here for, as a reminder. These are things we probably all learned in our youth, things we probably all learned in Sunday school or should have learned in Sunday school. Whether we remember them or not is a different matter, but there is a narrow gate and a wide gate. It's not easy being a Christian. I mean, anybody can call themselves a Christian, certainly. I know plenty of people who do. Well, my parents were Christians, so I must be Christian. I saw a thing recently. There was somebody was asking on their Facebook, I would like to change my race because I was born a Christian and I kind of want to try Buddhism. I think it was Buddhism. I don't remember what. It's one of those things that makes you really wonder about folks in general, but you don't get born a Christian. I mean, if your parents are Christian, hopefully they bring you up in the church and hopefully that sticks with you and hopefully you continue in that walk. But we have that choice to make, that decision. And everyone is given that decision. the narrow path and the wide path, the narrow gate and the wide gate. As I said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says that no one comes to the Father but through him. We have a decision to make for us. Not only that, but we can't make the decision for other people, but we can present them with the decision. Hopefully, for the people in our lives, we have lived in such a way that we can show them. Hopefully, they see our fruit and want some of that. They want some of what we have, and we have the opportunity to offer it to them. I remember a long time ago watching a film, and I know I've mentioned this before. It was just so impactful to me. It was four young people riding in a car. The car was in an accident, and all four of them were killed. And they found themselves at the gates of heaven, and St. Peter is standing there, and he says to the one of them, "You may enter. The rest of you, I'm sorry. You did not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are not welcome in heaven." And the three of them turned to their friend who was going inside and asked him the question, "Why didn't you tell us? You knew. Why didn't you tell us?" Hopefully, as we call ourselves Christians, we have in fact made that decision, and we're not just here because it's Sunday and that's what you do on Sunday is go to church. Hopefully we've made that decision to go down the narrow gate, and it's hard. The narrow path is hard. It's hard to stay on because sometimes we wander off it. It's hard. And one of those hard things is telling people who in your life needs to be told. Who can you bring with you down the narrow path? It can't be forced. We all make the decision. We've made our decisions. The people around us make their decisions. As long as we have breath, it's okay. There's an opportunity to fix it if you're going down the wrong path. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Well, the benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And the good and final word for us today, I believe, in the fact that we've just celebrated our National Independence Day, freedom. We have the freedom to choose which gate we go through. We have the freedom to choose if we call ourselves Christians or if we actually follow Christ. We have the freedom to choose if we share that with others. He calls us to share it. We're asked to. Christianity is hard. But fortunately, God is with us. We, following Christ, have His help along the way. I know personally I wouldn't have made it this far without Him. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.